I'm Bruce Worsen, pastor of His Place Community Church. The following message came from a Sunday morning right here at His Place. Are you content with confusion? Most people are. Most people accept it. Broken world, broken people. But are you content with confusion? We may complain as believers. We may complain about not hearing God's voice, not understanding His will and His ways. But if you don't press into His word, if you don't bother reading His text messages that He has sent to you, then you're settling for uncertainty in your faith, in your life, in your family, in your world. Well, we are 2 years into Jesus' ministry, and we'll pick up. He's at his home office, surrounded by tens of thousands, in his home office in Capernaum, in a boat right now, because he's teaching, in a boat off the shore, because then the voice travels. And he is telling at least 9 parables we can weave together and see from the Gospels. We're reconstructing all of his teaching from the boat. It's really cool when you see how it fits together. At least 9 parables to this massive crowd along the shore. And regarding that day, I want to jump ahead a little bit because Mark later talks about it. So does Matthew. Here's what he says. He says, with many similar parables, Jesus spoke the word to them. This is how Jesus taught the word of God. And to Jesus, it was just what we call the Old Testament. That was his Bible. And so this is where you get the reason, you get what the parables are communicating. They are communicating God's word, the Old Testament. The Old Testament was never intended. Remember, we haven't met for 3 weeks on this topic, but lots going on. But 3 weeks ago, we talked about the fact that parables may seem simple now, looking backward through the cross, but at the time, no one seemed to understand what any of them meant. And they were meant to be confusing. We saw him say that. And now we see that he's using parables to speak the word, which tells us the Old Testament was never intended to be spoon-fed, just dangled. Look what it says now. With many similar parables, Jesus spoke the word to them as much as they could understand, which was different for each person, right? It depends how well they understood the Old Testament. It depends on how faithful each one had been to the command of God. And it is commands for us as well. It really, as much as they could understand, depending on how faithful they were to these words from Deuteronomy 11, fix these words of mine in your hearts and minds. Tie them as symbols. Remember I said the Old Testament is full of symbols. It's comparables. That's why the parables. So here you have the Old Testament, God himself saying, tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Teach them to your children, talking about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Write them on your door frames of your houses and on your gates. Wrestle with them. Get them in you. Look at them. Mark says that Jesus did not say anything to them without using a parable or a comparable. Real downer for the disobedient. Because if you don't recognize the Old Testament comparable images, you're lost. Now Matthew adds right here, so was fulfilled what was spoken through the prophet. So it's not like they weren't warned. So was fulfilled what was spoken through the prophet. I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things. This is God speaking. This is the word of God and God speaking from the Old Testament. And now Matthew says, hey, this is fulfilled in Jesus, which means he is both God and the word of God in the flesh. Because this is fulfilled. I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things hidden since the creation of the world. You have to understand, proverbs, comparables, riddles, they're all a big way by which God communicates. Poems, psalms, imagery, symbols. And the thing is, is like playing the piano. Just as we cannot fake learning the piano, parables separate the wishful from the faithful. He spoke everything in parables, and if you knew his word, you'd kind of track what he's saying. The faithful practice learning his voice. And his voice, when he taught the word, was always with comparables. Anyone can sit down and plunk away at the word of God. But is that what you want? Is that what you want for your life? Or do you want more? People ask me sometimes, you know, oh man, you've inspired me to get and start reading my Bible. Where do I start? What do I do? And I say, first, no, it's not easy. It's not easy. But it's like playing a piano. I use this example. It's like playing the piano. You can sit down and start having fun immediately. And you can learn like a chord. And you can start playing a song immediately. And you can really enjoy the growth all along the way. But serious playing requires passionate practice with purpose. It just does. It just does. And I thought of a scripture here. It's not in there, but I thought of it this morning. Ran found it, Proverbs 26, 7 and 9. It says, a parable in the mouth of a fool is like the useless legs of the lame. And another translation says, the unequal legs of the lame. What a great visual. Because, see, they're comparables. You compare this image to that image. That's the parable. That's what it does. And he says, the parable in the mouth of the fool is like they don't got the two legs working. And then it goes on to say, a thorn bush in the hand of a drunk man is a parable in a fool's mouth. It's just going to do damage. It's just going to do damage. It's still going to be under the curse. We will talk about this next thing in 2 or 3 weeks here. We will talk about this in more detail, and it is so fascinating. But I'm just going to give you a tidbit. The book of Proverbs, by its own introduction, is an instruction book for learning how to play the parables. And I'm going to show you. You can go do it on your own too, by the way. But look, here's what it starts with in Proverbs. It says what it's for attaining wisdom and discipline, for understanding words of insight, for acquiring a disciplined and prudent life, for giving prudence to the simple, knowledge and discretion to the young, for understanding proverbs and parables, the sayings and riddles of the wise. Listen, my son, to your father's instruction, and do not forsake your mother's teaching. Your mother's teaching. Right there, we start with a parable right off. Because in Proverbs, God is portrayed as a father, and his spirit of wisdom is portrayed as a mother. Mother wisdom, who calls out, says, receive my love. And that's who's being referred to in the New Testament, 2 Thessalonians, when it says, if you reject the love of wisdom, you reject wisdom's love, then you exchange it for a deep delusion. So, are you complacent with confusion? You just don't really think about it. It's whatever, whatever. I made the case to you 3 weeks ago that the Old Testament, while remaining exactly what it is, the Old Testament, also contains a children's game of match the images, match the comparables, a treasure hunt for children, embedded for one particular child, little Jesus. Little Jesus. And we said, why? So he could immediately begin to grow in wisdom. By the time he's 12, he's taken those matching images into the temple and a stand. Where are you getting these things? Well, I'm matching the pictures. Wisdom calls aloud in Proverbs, and among other things, she says, the complacency of fools will destroy them, but whoever listens to me will live. She says she can save us from death. The spirit of wisdom portrayed as our mother. I like that. I like that the wisdom is portrayed as our mother, and God is portrayed as our father. You have the Father, the Spirit, and the Son. My son, if you accept my words and store up my commands, store up your treasure. You store up my commands. If you call out for insight and cry aloud for understanding, this is how you listen to God. You go to his word and it's confusing. And so you practice and you cry out to wisdom. And then you dig and search for it as for hidden treasure. She's just telling us, this is what you got to do. Then you will find the knowledge of God and start storing up your treasure. Or you can be content with confusion and death, or listen and live. And in Hebrews it says, during the days of Jesus' life on earth, he offered up prayers and petitions with loud cries and tears, because he did what was instructed to the one who could save him from death, God's spirit of wisdom. Although he was a son, I don't like a son, because it can also be translated the son of God. Although he was, I want to say the son, he learned obedience. And wisdom says in Proverbs 6, my son, keep your father's commands and do not forsake your mother's teaching. For these commands contained in proverbs and parables and riddles and poems and sayings of the wise, these commands are a lamp. They are a lamp that can be turned on. This teaching, this type of teaching is a light, is a light. I also made the case that Jesus' parables contain Old Testament symbols, all of which are interdependent and consistent with all the symbols in his parables, that it's all one communication of God's word, all consistent in imagery and building on one another. So for instance, here in Proverbs, it says, these commands are a lamp, this teaching is a light. In Psalm 199, says God's word is a lamp. And in 2 Samuel, it says Jehovah, God himself, is our lamp. And in Revelation, it says the Lamb is the lamp. And that his name is the Word of God. And you've come full circle. Everything interdependent, consistent, and builds. I want to review a former passage we did 3 weeks ago, but in a completely different light now. This is right after the parable of the sower, and they come to Jesus to ask about it. When he was alone, now he's back in his home office, alone, okay? Get that image in your head. The 12 disciples and the others around him who had heard this, who wanted to understand what he meant, came to him. He was alone in his house, which means they did what people do now. They came to him, they sought him, and they knocked and asked him about the parables. Asked two questions. Why do you speak to the people in parables? And his disciples asked him what this parable meant. He said, the knowledge, and he's excited here, they've come in and asked him for more information. That's all he wants. That's all. He dangles. He says, anybody? Any takers? Any takers? Look what he says. He said, the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of God, of heaven, has been given to you. And it's literally translated, is granted, is given to you who sought and knocked and asked, you who have come in and asked, but not to them who didn't come in. To those on the outside who didn't come in, content with confusion, everything is said, everything remains concealed in parables. Whoever has, and this word has means holds, owns, possesses this inside scoop, this inside story, will be given more because two things, because they seek and knock and ask, and because this is God's heart. This is God's heart. And he will have an abundance because that's God's desire. Whoever does not have, whoever does not hold and own and possess the inside story, who does not cry out for wisdom, search for it as treasure, even what he has will be taken from him because he's content, complacent with chaos, confusion. And so as we saw in the last message 3 weeks ago, he goes on to say, that those who choose to remain outside fulfill Isaiah's prophecy regarding all those content with not seeing and not hearing. And then he tells those who've come inside that their eyes, their ears will see and hear what the others can only long for, because as he's just said, even what they have will be taken from them. How? By who? By what? Well, according to his parable, the birds, by the birds and by the heat and by the thorns, which is why he then, as we've read, goes on to explain the meaning of the symbols of the sower. Even what they have will be taken from them by confusion, by suffering, and by worries and busyness. That's how these seeds of truth are taken away. And then he ends with the good soil, and that's where we left off. Remember, we took the parable and we just put all of his definitions. We replaced the words and then read the parable with his definitions and how cool that was. Well, here's where he leaves off with his explanation. But the one who received the seed, which we are told is the word of God, sown on good soil, stands for those with a noble and good heart. He's having fun telling them, this is what it means. This is what these things mean. Stands for those with a noble and good heart who hear the word and understands it. Look how each, Matthew's in purple, Mark's in blue, Luke's in green. We're just weaving all the gospels together as we do to see all the pieces. And look how they each add their unique piece. And it all builds to make one statement. And understands, accepts it, retains it, and by persevering, produces a crop 30, 60, or even 100 times what was sown. It so depends on the desire of the heart that's receiving it. We have to examine our hearts. Do we have a heart that's intent to understand and accept and retain and persevere and cry out? Or a heart that is content to settle for randomly plunking away in the dark? Because we have two symbols now for the word. I mean, there's many, but two here being used. One, the seed, but also the lamp. Watch how Jesus wraps up his answer now as to why he speaks in parables with reassurance that God's heart is not to confuse, but to challenge and strengthen and reward anyone, everyone, who actually wants the truth. It's how it has to work. And how it has to work. And so this is our passage for today. He said to them, do you bring in a lamp to put it under a bowl or a bed? Bowl is, I think, better translated as basket. It's for dry measure. And even the under a bowl, it can be translated in a bowl and under a bed. And it's interesting because when you really look, you answer this question, the answer is, well, it depends. It depends. Is the lamp lit or dark? Because, you know, they had little lamps and they had a lot of them. And you only used a few unless you had a big party and you put a lot out. And when they're not in use, you just put them in the lamp basket and hit it under the bed, which is why Luke adds this. No one lights a lamp and hides it in a jar or puts it under the bed, because when it's not lit, that's what you do. And if your lamp is hid, if your lamp is under the bed, it ain't lit. It isn't lit. Instead, he puts it on a stand so that those who come in, see, there's something on our part. Those who come in, like the 12 and the others who are determined to get the inside scoop on this sower parable, can see the light which we now, stitching those pieces together, we know is the Lamb who is the Word in the flesh, because he's God's seed, God's Son, who was with God and is God. And all of that theology, because of the picture of a seed and a lamp, just put together. For take heart, whatever is hidden Whatever is hidden in the Proverbs, the parables, the sayings, and the riddles is meant to be disclosed. To who? Those who aren't content playing chopsticks for the rest of their lives, but practice with passion and learn to play by ear. In fact, he says, there is nothing hidden that will not be disclosed. One of the parables, he says, that day coming up is about the treasure hidden in the field that the man finds and then conceals again. Spoiler alert, he's the man. And nothing concealed that will not be known or brought out. Interesting, brought out, because another parable he will say in just a little while on the same day involves the only true teacher who's been instructed in the kingdom. And he brings out of his treasury the treasure he has stored up, both the new treasure along with the old. It's a picture of what Jesus is doing with the comparables. You see, the light of the world does not desire to keep us in the dark, but he wants to fulfill our free will with the full light of the Lamb. Full light of the Lamb. I love how that works. He's the Lamb, and he's the Lamp, and he's the Word, and he's God. Whatever is concealed is meant to be brought out into the open. The only limiting factor is your heart, my heart, our heart's desire, as expressed through our actions, not our wishes. I wish I could play the piano, but I ain't gonna practice. That's too hard. Therefore, he says, and here's the moment you need to really pay attention, right here. Therefore, in conclusion, consider carefully how you listen to the Word of God. Not how you talk to God, but how you listen to God. And the way we listen to God is by implanting every word that proceeds from the mouth of God into our heart. If anyone has ears that desire to hear, let him hear, for here he or she shall, just as those content with confusion will remain outside. Those who come in will hear. Consider carefully what you hear, he continued. God's word is not something you skim. With the measure you use. There's no one else in the room right now except me talking to me and me talking to you, I guess. Okay, two people in the room. I'm talking to myself, but I'm also, you get it, just you. With the measure you alone use to seek and ask and knock, it will be measured to you, to me. And even more, because that's God's heart, 30, 60, even 100 times what was sown. Whoever has what? The good soil, the good heart will be given more because it grows and it's fruitful, it produces. But whoever does not have that fertile soil, that receptive heart, even what he has, that is the seeds on the path, on the rocks, or among the thorns. Luke says, even what he thinks he has, I like that, what he thinks he has securely planted, will be taken from him by the birds, the enemy of confusion, the heat of hard times, and the smothering comforts and worries of life. I've never before realized that this is a continuation of that parable, but it just fits so perfect. When you weave it together and you see that's where it goes and this is his ending, wow, does that work well. Those who sought more truth that day received an abundance. But those who stayed on the outside, who were merely seeking a miracle or a good story or, you know, a party or the fellowship or an argument, they couldn't make heads or tails out of what he was saying. Because you see, acting on truth always qualifies us for deeper truth. And if we don't act on what we receive, then try as we might to hold on to it, it's going to slip right through our soil and out our ears. I'm mixing the metaphors, but you get the picture. If we don't quickly obey, truth is taken away. This separates the truth seekers from the self seekers, the curiosity seekers. So again, last time, I'm going to ask, are you content with confusion? I sure hope not. Don't be deceived. Don't be deceived into thinking the Word of God is dull. It's not dull. It's your ears. Your ears are dull. The Word of God even says that. Your ears are dull. But they can be trained. They can be trained. Is it difficult? Oh, absolutely yes. Absolutely. It was not designed to be easy because that would be boring. That would be dull. It is designed to be exciting and inspiring and challenging and puzzling and rewarding, but easy? No. That's just dumb. That's just dim. Who wants a mystery that's easy to solve? Satisfying, yes. Easy, no. Who wants a video game without levels, without challenge? Who wants a sport without an opponent? Who wants a puzzle without pieces? Why do we climb mountains? Why do we dive oceans? And why do we dig for treasure? Because that is the stuff of life. So be careful. Consider how you listen. Because you might be longing for less. Let's pray for help. Father God, help, help, we cry out. We have come inside this place this morning to pursue you with perseverance and purpose and passion. Holy Spirit, fix your words in our hearts and our minds. Transform any part of us that is merely wishful to fully faithful. Lord Jesus, we love you, we worship you. We are not content with confusion. We are seeking truth and we are expecting abundance because you are truth and we love you. And everybody said, amen. Well, thanks for listening in. Why don't you join us on a Sunday morning? If you'd like more information about the church, just point your browser to hisplacechurch.com. Until next time, may the Lord bless you, keep you, and make his face shine upon you.